Madam President, I move the further proceedings on the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant at Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. All opposed say nay. The motion prevails. Sergeant of Arms will bring in the absent members. Today's chaplain is the Pastor Mike Smith from Redeeming Love Church in Maplewood. Following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate the invitation to be here today, and it's a great opportunity. One of the things that there's several things we all share in common, and that is we love this state. We love this state of Minnesota, and the other thing is we want to bring solutions to problems that sometimes seem so unsolvable. And so I know that I'm just one voice that really honors all of you and appreciate your commitment, your sacrifice. And it's because of that we want to pray. Also, just a couple of days ago, our nation was made aware of our vulnerability. And our president, following that, I listened to him as he called for the nation to pray. And I am here because I just believe that God is not reluctant to answer our prayer. So I'm going to pray according to Psalm 86. Heavenly Father, bend down, O Lord, and hear our prayer. Answer us, Lord, for we need your help today. Protect us, Lord, as we devote our hearts to you. Save us. Watch over us. And Lord, we will serve you and trust in you, for you are our God. Be merciful to us, O Lord, for we're calling on you continually. Give us joy, O Lord, as we give ourselves to you. Lord, you are so good. You are ready to forgive. You're full of unfailing love for all who ask for your help. So listen closely today to our prayer and hear our urgent cry. And we will call upon you when we're in trouble, and you will answer. O Lord, there's none that can do what you can do. All the nations you made will come and surrender to you. They will bow before you and praise your name. For you are great and you perform wonderful deeds. You alone are a God. So teach us your ways, O Lord, that we can live according to your truth. And grant us purity of heart so that we can honor you. And with all your heart, we will praise you. And I will give glory to your name forever. Lord, your love for us is very great. You've rescued us from problems that seem so great. Oh God, there are people that would try to rise up against us. Violence and ruthless people would try to attack us. But to you, that's nothing. You, oh Lord, are God of compassion and mercy, slow to get angry, filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. Look down and have mercy upon us and give us your strength. I pray for your wisdom, your counsel, and your leading for each of these your servants today. Save us. Lord, I pray your blessing upon this gathering of leaders, servants who are committed to our state of Minnesota. I ask, Father God, that today you would give them peace and joy and strength. Fill this place with your goodness. May we be aware that you are a God who does care about every decision we make. And Lord, for the sake not only of our generation, but for generations to come, we trust in you. Give us a sign of your favor, O Lord, and help and comfort your people today. Lord, bless the United States of America. Bless this great state of Minnesota. Pour out your blessing upon this house, we pray, as we trust in you. And Lord, because my life has been changed by the power of your great love, I pray in your wonderful name. Oh, before I say amen, Lord, we're looking forward to spring. Amen.
Amen.
Of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
It's very appropriate, that song.
It really fits for right now.
It really does.
wisdom and direction to lead this great group. And
so much.
And we do pray for you, all right?
Thank you.
God bless you.
Appreciate that. Thanks. The secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Benson, Bonoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Champion, Clausen, Cohen, Dahl, Dames, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Eakin, Fischbach, Franzen, Gazelka, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Herr, Hayden, Hoffman, Housley, Ingebrigtsen, Jensen, Johnson, Kent, Kiffmeyer, Kunin, Latz, Limmer, Lori, Marty, Metzen, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Ortman, Osmick, Pappas, Peterson J, Peterson B, Pratt, Reinert, Rest, Rosen, Rood, Saxog, Scalzi, Schmidt, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Sparks, Stumpf, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Weber, Westrom, Wieger, and Wickland.
A quorum is present. We move to the third order of business, messages from the House. The Secretary will read the messages.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file herewith returned. Senate file number 1086, a bill for an act relating to human rights, ensuring public accommodations for blind and disabled persons. Signed, Alban A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives. And Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House files herewith transmitted. House files number 19, 283, 369, and 450. Signed, Alban A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
The fourth order of business, the first reading of House bills. They will be referred as indicated and given their first reading. We have one additional bill that will be read by the Secretary.
Reports to committees.
And reported to committees.
It's a fifth order.
This is in that. That comes under that.
The Secretary will read Senate File 453 and report to the appropriate committee.
Senator Cohen from the Committee on Finance, to which was referred Senate File Number 453, a bill for an act relating to education, providing funding for early childhood and family, pre-kindergarten through grade 12, and adult education, including general education, reports the same back with the recommendation that the bill be amended as follows, and when so amended, the bill do pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Taxes.
Senator Peterson, for what purpose does the gentleman rise?
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 21, I object to the reference of Senate File 453.
It's an automatic that goes through this. Okay. So noted. The eighth order of business, introduction, first reading of Senate bills. The bills will be referred as indicated and given their first reading. The ninth order of business, motions and resolutions. These are authors' motions that will be adopted as one motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I'd like to move a brief recess, and the Rules Committee is going to meet immediately upon us recessing in room 112.
All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Senate is in recess.
Madam President, I move that further proceedings on the roll call be dispensed with and Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The Sergeant of Arms will bring in the absent members. Remaining under motions and resolutions will revert to the fifth order of business, reports of committees. The Secretary will read the report.
Senator Bach from the Committee on Rules and Administration, to which was referred under Rule 21, together with the committee report thereon, Senate File Number 453, a bill for an act relating to education, providing funding for early childhood and family, pre-kindergarten through grade 12, and adult education, reports the same back with the recommendation that the report from the Committee on Finance, shown in the journal for April 17, 2013, be adopted, that committee recommendation being the bill be amended, and when so amended, the bill do pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Taxes.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move the committee report read by the Secretary be adopted.
All those in favor of the motion say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Bach.
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate that the following bills be made special orders for immediate consideration. And members, the list is on your desk.
The first bill on special orders is number 172 on general orders, Senate File 1236, Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Madam President. I rise to speak about the Higher Ed Omnibus Bill today. The Higher Education Omnibus Bill represents an increase of approximately $263 million compared to our base funding for higher education. And I am proud to present this to the body today because I think it truly does reflect a values statement, and that we have identified that in order to meet the workforce needs of tomorrow, approximately 75% of our young people will need some kind of post-secondary education. Yet when we began our committee work this session, we didn't want to have a vision for the committee or a mission for our committee to be 75% of young people will get a post-secondary degree. Rather, we wanted to take a strong stand and say that each and every young person, each and every learner in Minnesota will have some kind of post-secondary. And by post-secondary, we mean certificates, two-year degrees, four-year degrees, training programs. Really, we're covering the gamut of what it takes to provide the workforce of tomorrow. And so we had, within that overall framework of a vision, we identified in our committee three objectives. And through the committee process, the lens with which we evaluated all bills related to those three committee objectives: reducing costs to students, increasing degree completion, and building a 21st century workforce. So, within this bill, we have proposed to invest $80 million both to the University of Minnesota and the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. Our $80 million proposed increase to MNSCU helps us build a 21st century workforce. They have come forward to us and proposed what they believe will, in fact, enable them to do that. One thing that I would highlight is their proposal through leveraged equipment for training purposes. We know that the manufacturing industry is experiencing a resurgence, but it isn't the manufacturing industry of yesterday. We're talking about robotics. We're talking about the need to operate very complex, intricate, high-level machinery. And we find in listening to our businesses that the students of today aren't prepared to tackle those challenges. And so the investment that we make in this bill allows our colleges, technical colleges, community colleges, and universities to add leveraged equipment. The University of Minnesota goes a different direction with the proposed investment that we have made there. We have, in this proposal, promised and pledged to freeze tuition for University of Minnesota students, and then, with the other remaining money, to invest in their research and education and service mission. They have called this effort that they proposed to us, and we accepted, their Moon Drive. They have identified four areas of focus within this: securing the global food supply, advancing discoveries and treatments for brain conditions, supporting robotics, sensors, and advanced manufacturing, and advancing industry and conserving the environment. We have invested $80 million in the state grant program. This is a very generous proposal, but doesn't even come close to meeting the need of our students. One of the things that has bothered me most deeply since I began chairing this higher ed committee are the amount of students carrying debt that is just oppressive. You know, when we think about the average debt load of our students being $29,000 per student, and then we look at entry-level jobs whereby, you know, we know our young people, if they can come out of college and get a $30,000 a year job, that is something to celebrate. So the disparity between the debt load that they're caring and their ability to have a high-paying job really puts our economy at risk and our way of life. We have made some changes to the state grant program. These changes reflect changes brought forward by the committee and, the more importantly, our students. We increase the cap. We increase the living and miscellaneous expense, and we include a part-time program for students at MinSCU. Students most predominantly have come into our offices, have been before our committee, have rallied on the Capitol steps to say, we have to work to be able to afford college, yet our part-time lack of supporting the part-time student in our grant program makes it exceedingly unfair. So we listen to those students and we put forward a pilot program whereby they can have their tuition prorated and have access to more grant dollars. We have instituted a stronger performance metric funding system within this bill. In the past, under the leadership of Senator Pappas and Senator Fischbach, they had a performance metrics proposal whereby 1% of overall state funding was linked to performance measures. We had experts come before our committee, Dr. Applegate from the Lumina Foundation. I wanted to thank the chamber for sponsoring that visit. The committee greatly appreciated that. He came before the committee and shared what was happening all over the country with regard to performance funding. States such as Tennessee are saying all of their funding is linked to performance metrics. Whereas, you know, compared to our 1%, they really did say, the more research we did, that unless you at least have 5% of your funding tied to performance metrics, it's just not effective. So in partnership with the institutions, both MinSCU and the University of Minnesota, we wrote our metrics together so that they could feel as though this was something that they could achieve. 3 of 5 metrics. Their 2015 appropriation is linked to being able to meet that. There are many provisions in the bill that came forward as a result of members in this body proposing particular bills. So I won't go through line by line, but I will just highlight the key provisions. We fund the American Indian Scholarships with an increase. There had been a long waiting list, and so we have provided $3.1 million in each of the next 2 years in this biennium so that we could fulfill that waiting list. In addition, Senator Saxhog proposed that we include tribal college grants where one of the community colleges in his area served students that weren't American Indian, but yet they weren't getting any help to provide those that education to them, and so we supported that program. Senator Pappas proposed the Summer Bridge Program, the continuation of that, which directed the Office of Higher Ed to offer competitive grants to institutions. I'm sorry, Madam Chair, I'm having trouble hearing. Please give the author the courtesy of listening to her present her bill. Thank you, Madam President. So the Senator Pappas's bill provides competitive grants to institutions who are doing research-based high school to college developmental transition programs. We, in this bill, Senator Eakin, have proposed the MinLink Gateway and Minitex expansion. It's a wonderful program that we do provide currently, whereby the colleges and universities in Minnesota can share library resources, yet with everything now being online, this provision allows us to have a virtual library that all of our institutions can access, and that was something that we saw as very important. The Minnesota Office of Higher Education is now the agency that's coordinating the statewide longitudinal education data system. And I will say the partnership between the E-12 division, led by Senator Wieger and Senator Torres-Ray, as well as with the higher ed institutions is really a wonderful thing, and indeed, because we recognize that we need to make sure that we follow our students from the time they're in preschool through post-secondary and into the workforce so that we can analyze what's working, what's not working, what changes need to be made to respond to the changing economic needs. And so supporting SLEDS goes a long way in making sure we have the information we need. Senator Peterson worked closely with OHE to make sure that there were provisions in the bill that closed some of those gaps that he had identified in making sure we had access to that information. HCMC was moved, the fiscal agent moved from being the University of Minnesota to the OHE. There's a provision in the bill to support Teach for America, the alternative licensing group that's providing teachers, particularly in low-income, high-needs area, to be able to meet the demands that our schools have identified. And the expenditure in there goes for expenses related to recruiting, selection, and training, management, and operational support. And most importantly, it's leveraged by private donations. In addition, first I'll say the Senator Dzitzik has a provision in the, and by the way, that was a Miller provision. Senator Dzitzik has a provision to expand the Q program, which again is a training program and a recruiting program for teachers of color to service high need areas. And in this case, we're expanding it to the Augsburg College and serving the Somali population. For both of these programs, we've added performance metrics as well. We've said we want to know how many teachers of color are part of these programs, as well as how are their teachers doing based on our new teacher evaluation system, and we have required that reporting back. With regard to MinSCU's performance metrics, I'll just briefly, number one was to increase by 4%, their degrees, increased by 1%, persistence and completion rate, 4% related employment rate. We've asked them to collect data on open educational resources to implement a plan of how they can lower the overall cost, direct cost to students based on the use of these OER resources. And Senator Miller has specifically put proposals to make sure MOOCs, the massive online open courses, are available and used in Minnesota, and I'm hopeful that he'll speak a little bit about that later in this discussion. I mentioned the leverage equipment. MinSCU also supporting faculty-driven innovations, an internship program that is leveraged with money from the business community. We know that nothing helps a young person more in terms of getting their start than having an internship. So anything we can do to signal to our business community that we want them offering our students internships, and when they can, paid internships, because it makes a difference and it allows these kids not to be, you know, working at a coffee shop during the summer to get money, but rather working in some place that they can ultimately find employment and discover the careers of their choosing. We've invested in Minsky's proposal for high-demand professions, and their retention and completion initiative. So again, the focus of all committee work was around making sure kids were completing, keeping prices low, and being prepared for the workforce. The University of Minnesota's performance metrics are number one, increased by 1% the graduation rates for low-income students. We want to make sure our best and brightest have access to the University of Minnesota. Increased by 3% the total number of undergraduate STEM degrees. We put so many of our resources into this new bioscience alley at the University of Minnesota. We want to make sure they're focused on getting those students, attracting them, and making sure they graduate. We've also said that we want them to increase overall graduation rates by 1% system-wide, not just in the Twin Cities, to decrease by $15 million the university's total operating budget expenditures devoted to administration, and then finally to increase by 3% their invention disclosures. We have several places within our overall omnibus bill pointed to our commitment that the University of Minnesota respond to the public's perception that the administrative costs are exceeding what we consider to be an acceptable standard. So we put this provision in our metric. In addition, we require the University of Minnesota to come back to us with a final spans and layers report based on the Simpson Consulting report that they presented to Senator Bach and myself mid-session in early March, as well as the university has engaged an additional consultant to have an overall broad plan to lower administrative costs, and we've asked the university to be very clear with us about their plan and intention to do that. And as I mentioned, they have said that with this new money, they will commit to freezing tuition. We do support the Mayo Clinic's appropriation, same as in the previous biennium of $2.7 million. We have asked for additional reporting on various things. We've asked all of the institutions that have access to state grant money to let us know their job placement, their debt-to-earnings ratio, their default, and we've done this very intentionally because it is our belief that we should have clear parameters around who gets to participate in the state grant program. For example, if you're an institution that's only graduating 20% of your students, we don't want to have our tax dollars funding your students. We want to make sure our tax dollars are invested in our students in a place where they're going to be successful. And we don't think that we have up till now been clear about that objective and desire, and so over the interim we'll be working on that. So I mentioned we've made several changes to the state grant program and I'm happy to go through those in more detail. I mentioned the MOOCs that Senator Miller was carrying, and Senator Miller, I said that I'm sure you'd speak about that when I'm completed, because I think that's really an exciting new venture for us, that we want to open the door for our students and for our institutions. Senator Weber has a provision in the bill with regard to Minsky's Community Bank Reserve Project, allowing Minsky to deposit their funds in the local community banks, whereby they can have the return that they're looking for, as well as stimulate local economic growth. Senator Miller's got a provision in the bill directing the Office of Higher Ed to come up with financial strategies for timely completion. For example, we think that if we divided the way we issued our state grant money, focused perhaps more on year two in a two-year program, that we would incentivize our students to complete rather than, to go 1 year and then say, we've made another decision. Because every time a student is not successful who we've put our investment in, then in fact we have not gotten a good return on that investment, nor have we served our young people in terms of their opportunity to have the kind of careers that they aspire to have. Senator Claussen has a bill that directs the OHG to analyze the feasibility of a program that would assist Minnesota residents in refinancing student loans. I don't know about you members, but I actually get emails from students who say they're carrying, you know, I just had one recently of a young woman who's carrying $100,000 in student debt, and she's coming to me, her state senator, to say, what can you do to help me refinance these at lower rates? And so Senator Claussen's bill directs the Office of Higher Ed to find a way to allow the students to take advantage, perhaps, of the good credit of the state of Minnesota to have lower interest rates. Senator Kent has a mentoring program, creates two pilot programs for at-risk students, one at a university and one at a college, to provide high levels of course advising and guidance. And we have clearly identified that when obstacles are in students' way through completion, mentoring is key to solving that. And we're hoping that after these pilot programs show results, that we'll expand that statewide. Senator Claussen has put forward in this bill the creation of a mental health summit. We've talked a lot about this session, the tremendous unmet mental health needs and the unmet needs for mental health professionals. So by gathering these folks together and directing them to talk about where we're missing both service and professional need, we think that that's something worth doing. We've directed the university to add additional reports around areas that we've identified, such as enrollment in the Twin Cities Medical School, where we know we have shortages, and plans to increase the capacity of that school, as well as report statistics regarding STEM. Senator Pratt directed Minsky and the University of Minnesota to conduct and report studies comparing faculty and staff numbers, salaries, and benefits with those of comparable non-Minnesota institutions. Originally, Senator Pratt's was just to do the numbers, and then Senator Torres-Ray added an amendment to include the salaries as well. Senator Kent also carried the Office of Higher Ed bill, which had some technical changes, including changing Director Pogemiller's title to Commissioner Pogemiller. Senator Dibble had a bill that's included in here that was really pretty heartwarming and sad story, where we've got research cats and dogs who are not allowed to be adopted by loving families. And so Senator Dibble's bill offers an animal the ability to be adopted by an animal rescue organization. Senator Peterson has an academic credit for military service. Senator Fischbach has a veterans preference provision in the bill. So in summary, members, I hope that in listening to this summary, what you're left with is that we in Minnesota believe that higher education is of vital importance to the future of economy, the future of our population in general, and that our young people are worth investing in, and that now is the time to do that. And I would thank all the members of the committee for their hard work, as well as the staff, our legal counsel, my fiscal analyst, Maya, John Fuller, Dave Kornacki, my committee administrator, Sean Oyes, my legislative assistant and assistant for the committee, as well as I have wonderful interns, Maya, Travis, and Soren. So with that, I would stand for questions.
Are there any questions from members? Senator Miller.
Thank you, Madam President. And just for any members that are wondering what MOOCs stands for, MOOC stands for Massive Open Online Courses. And the state of Minnesota is really leading the way with this language in the omnibus bill. There are no other states in the country that have this right now, and this would basically allow these MOOCs, or massive open online courses, to be offered in the state of Minnesota and allow Minnesota residents to actually legally take them. Current statute, although a little bit out of date, says that technically it would be illegal for Minnesota citizens to participate in these courses. These courses are, in my opinion, a new way of offering higher education throughout the country. And our hope is to one day, we're not quite there yet, but one day have these courses be accepted into institutions in the state of Minnesota for credit. We need to continue to work on that with our institutions in the state of Minnesota, but I'm confident that that we're on the right track, and certainly appreciate your support for that provision. And I'd like to thank Senator Bonhoff. I think the Senate Higher Education Committee put together a very good bill that focuses on tuition, financial aid to our students, as well as workforce and economic development, and I certainly stand in support of the bill.
Are there any other comments? Senator Bonhoff.
I did want to just add, Madam President, that the structure of how we went about putting our bill together and really the day-to-day operations of the committee was that my Vice Chair, Senator Claussen, the lead Republican, Senator Miller, myself, and all of our staff met once a week to review bills and to really talk about our strategy and our objectives. So a thank you to Senator Claussen and Senator Miller as well.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Madam President. I think that the chair has done an admirable job, but I think there is a very important measurement that is not included in this bill that we absolutely must add for the University of Minnesota in order to make sure that they are accountable in accomplishing their core mission. And so, Madam President, I would like to offer the A52 amendment.
The secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Ortman moves to amend Senate file number 1236 as follows, page 12, line 19. And this is the A52 amendment.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Madam President and members. I am a new member to the Higher Ed Committee for the first time this year, and I've learned quite a bit through my own experience with my four children that are now in the college age range, but also from the testimony we heard and from the bills that were presented. And frankly, I was pretty disappointed when I heard from the University of Minnesota that the Minnesota student ratio is only 63%. And Madam President and members, I don't think that's good enough. The core mission of the University of Minnesota is to provide accessible and affordable, good quality education for all Minnesota students. And so, Madam President and members, the A52 amendment would just add one more performance measurement. It would be to ensure that at least 75% of the incoming freshmen at the University of Minnesota are Minnesota residents. That leaves plenty of room for other students from other areas of the country and in the world, really. About 17% are reciprocity students, I've learned from the University of Minnesota. So we have reciprocity agreements with other states. About 17% of the student body is represented by students with reciprocity agreements. That would still leave 7% for adding in diversity, seeking out international students or from other states that don't include reciprocity students. I think this is a fair measurement of the performance of the University of Minnesota members. I'd like to remind members that the bill that is before us would include $1.1 billion in a subsidy from the taxpayers of the state of Minnesota for the education of the students of the state of Minnesota. I'd also like to remind members that over the last 4 years, we spent $266 million, or authorized $266 million in bonding projects. And so I think that it is a fair performance measurement of the University of Minnesota to require at this time that they educate at least 75% of its student body Minnesota residents. I would ask for a roll call vote, Madam President.
Roll call has been requested. Roll call granted. Discussion on the amendment. Senator Bonhoff.
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you, Senator Ortman. We did have that conversation in committee, and so I wondered if you would put forward this amendment, and I have given it a great deal of thought. Right now, the University of Minnesota would, according to them, meet that metric, because they say that's about where they are, I believe. Oh, no, they're. Oh, you said 68. Okay, 63. Thank you. I stand corrected. My concern with regard to this amendment, and first, let me say what I like about the amendment. I don't know about others of you, but many people in my own community whose kids are very good students have not been accepted to the University of Minnesota. And not accepted for reasons that you can't even imagine. You think, my gosh, they've got a 3.6, they've been involved in all these things, why aren't they accepted? And so I know the University of Minnesota is getting tougher and tougher about their acceptance standards, and it is difficult when we have our young people not get in who we think deserve to be there. On the other hand, the concern I have with this is that we have identified a workforce shortage. We've heard from our state economists that just with our, those coming through the pipeline, we aren't going to have the amount of workers trained in the workforce needs of tomorrow. We also have seen statistics that when kids come from out of state or internationally to our campuses, they tend to stay in Minnesota because we're a great state to live. I mean, once I went away to school and I came back, and I'm hoping my kids will do the same, those who left. But to say that we want to limit out-of-state kids coming here when I think they are integral to our future is something that I do oppose. So I'm concerned about it from that perspective. I'm also concerned about it from a global competitiveness standpoint. You know, those international students who see that in America their dreams can be met, they're coming here, and we want to encourage them, again, to choose Minnesota and make Minnesota their home. You know, we don't have the best weather. There are a few other things about our state that make it perhaps less attractive than, say, California to a young person. And so anything we can do to remove barriers to get more young people to our state is something that I would support. So because of that, I do oppose the amendment, Senator Ortman, while supporting the intention.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Madam President. I'm sorry to hear that Senator Bonhoeff doesn't support this amendment, especially under the guise of saying that we're supporting the growth of the workforce in the state of Minnesota. That's exactly what this amendment would accomplish. Instead of sending our great, talented, bright students out of state because they can't get into the University of Minnesota, let's keep more of them here. And we do know from our businesses and the business community that they want more higher educated, high-tech students. The students that live here, grew up here, are more likely to stay here than anybody. Let's educate more Minnesota students. Let's give them those opportunities. They have earned them. And as Senator Bonhoeff has said, we have great students that get A averages at our very good high schools that aren't getting into the University of Minnesota. Where are they going? Elsewhere. Let's educate them here. Let's keep them here. They are our 21st century workforce. I hope the Minnesota Senate will vote to support Minnesota students getting into the University of Minnesota. It's not the University of anywhere. It's the University of Minnesota.
More discussion. Senator Cohen.
Madam President, just procedurally, would move a call of the Senate, please.
The Senate is under call. Senator Cohen, for the remainder of this bill or the entire special order agenda?
For the entire special orders, Madam President. Right. I move that further proceedings on the call be dispensed with and the Sergeant at Arms be instructed to bring in the absentees.
All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Sergeant of Arms will bring in the absent members. Further discussion on the A-52 amendment. Senator Rudin.
Madam Chair and members, we just started the new School Trust Land Commission, and in that commission we found out that our forefathers in 1858 set aside lands for education in Minnesota. And I think it's really important to understand that they thought how important it was to educate our children in Minnesota. And so remember that the University of Minnesota gets $3 million a year from the school trust lands that were put forth by our forefathers for the education of Minnesota students. So I rise in support of this amendment.
Senator Kent.
Thank you, Madam President. I rise in opposition to this amendment, and as Senator Bonoff said, I agree with the intent here that we are trying to make sure that we're taking care of Minnesota students. But by limiting the number within the freshman class, that will end up limiting how many students from our Minsky institutions can transfer into the university system later in their college careers, and that would be a limitation. And the additional consideration is, frankly, financial. There is a ratio of students that are paying non-resident tuition, and if we really cap that significantly, that would have the effect of having resident tuition potentially go up as well. Thank you.
More discussion on the A52 amendment? Any more discussion? Sarah Clausen.
President, thank you. I think in today's world, college enrollment is really competitive. We want to have our very best, our very brightest attending our schools here in the University of Minnesota in our Minsky system. I think annually we graduate about 55,000 students from those institutions. Many of them will stay in Minnesota, and we want to make sure that we have attracted the very best, the very brightest. As a former high school principal, a lot of decisions go into where a student will be attending. Students decide to move away from home, go to another state. Some choose to stay in the state of Minnesota. Some are driven by the financial economy. There's lots of different reasons why a student chooses the college or university that they will attend. I think it's extremely important that we be competitive in that market and we not allow ratios to impede college enrollment. Thank you.
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to make an assumption that my good friend Senator Clausen was not saying that we don't have the best and the brightest in Minnesota. But I don't think it's as important to have whether the best and the brightest even go to the University of Minnesota. I think the best and the brightest ought to be coming out of the University of Minnesota, and I think we ought to give that opportunity to our kids.
Any more discussion on the A52 amendment? Senator Sharon.
Thank you, Senator Pappas. I'd like to make an oral amendment to the amendment.
State your amendment.
My amendment would read, starting on lines 1.6, for the fall term, for the fall 2014 term, the University of Minnesota increased the incoming freshmen at the University of Minnesota to an additional 2% of Minnesota residents. It would have to be 2015. Excuse me, I amend that to 2015.
You need to repeat that.
For the oral amendment would be on lines 1.6 of Senator Ortman's amendment. For the fall of 2015 term, at least the
fall 2015 term.
2015 term, at least the University of Minnesota will increase the number of incoming freshmen who are Minnesota residents by 2%.
Senator Ortman.
Madam President, I think that's just a complicated way of changing the number from 75 to 65, which I don't think is a good enough number. The number now is 63%, which I think is not acceptable. And so rather than orally amending this, I think that Senator Sharon might want to offer her own amendment here rather than amending this one. It's more complicated than that.
The Secretary will read the amendment to the amendment if Senator Sharon wants to proceed.
Madam President, can I have the amendment offered in writing?
The request has been that the amendment be in writing. That is automatically granted. So, Senator Sharon, I don't know if Senator Ortman, do you want to lay this amendment aside while that amendment gets prepared in writing and then bring it back up in a little while? Okay. The A52 amendment is temporarily laid over. Are there any other amendments?
Madam Chair, I just wanted to point out something to
Senator Bonoff.
Senator Ortman. The admissions process is already underway for the fall of 2014 because the University of Minnesota does rolling admissions. So I suggested to Senator Sharon, as she amended her amendment, that she changed 2014 to 2015. So I would suggest, as you come back one way or another, that we look at the 2015 year, and all of our other metrics relate to the 2015 year.
Okay, is there any more discussion or any other amendments? Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam President. I have the A54 amendment.
The Secretary will report the A54 amendment.
Senator Nelson moves to amend Senate File Number 1236 as follows, page 38 after line 10, insert. And this is the A54 amendment.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, the A54 amendment addresses an issue that I believe certainly I've heard from my constituents about, and I'm sure you have too, something important to every one of us here. That's to make sure that our funding that goes to our universities and our colleges is actually used for students. And one of the things we're often concerned about is the loss of funding in the terms of too much administration or types of bonuses and those type of things. Certainly there's been a lot of press about that in Minnesota lately. The A54 amendment specifically gets to that, and it requires that it does not allow the funding to be used for direct discretionary bonuses that are paid in an employment contract for the administration, and it lists those specifically. And that would apply to both the university and to Minsku. And I'd ask for a roll call.
Roll call's been requested. Roll call granted. Are there any comments on the A54 amendment? Senator Bonoff.
Madam President, I would consider it a friendly amendment.
Senator Nelson, would you like to withdraw your roll call request since the author is willing to accept your amendment?
I appreciate that it's a friendly amendment, but I do think it's an important vote for all of us, so I would still do a roll call because I think Minnesotans want to know how we stand on this.
It's your prerogative. Any other discussion on the A54 amendment? Then the Secretary will take the roll.
Madam President, absentees? Who is
those who've been excused
for the day?
Senator Schmidt is excused for the day. All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 61 ayes and 5 nays, the amendment is adopted. Are there any other amendments? Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam President. I would offer the A53 amendment.
The secretary will report the A53 amendment.
Senator Newman moves to amend Senate File Number 1236 as follows. Page 17 after line 32, insert. And this is the A53 amendment.
Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, I'm going to call this the Tubby Smith Amendment. When I was in my home district last week, there were two things that came up at my town hall meeting concerning the University of Minnesota that my constituents were pretty interested in, and the Tubby Smith buyout was one of them. And what I'm trying to accomplish by the A53 amendment is to, in the future, prohibit these funds that we are appropriating to the regents to be used for the purpose of buying out contracts involving coaches within the athletic department. I think it's a pretty straightforward amendment, and I will tell you that neither I nor an awful lot of my constituents really understand why we pay athletic coaches the kind of money that we do, and then not being satisfied with their performance, pay them the kind of money that Tubby Smith got, which I believe his buyout was $2.5 million. So the purpose of the amendment is to prohibit that kind of conduct and buyouts in the future. Thank you, Madam President. And Madam President, if I could have a roll call, please.
Roll call has been requested. Is there any more discussion on the A53 amendment? Senator Bonoff.
Madam President, you know, members, this one is truly not necessary because the athletic department, this was not, we don't use our dollars for that. But that's fine, you know, if you want to do this. I would hope that members aren't going to keep doing that because this will be the last amendment that I would say is friendly because I don't think we want to be micromanaging our dollars in that way. And I think because there's been so much attention on the overall administrative cost side of the things that the public has expressed that. And so I think our support of the Nelson Amendment was a reflection of our understanding of what the public has said to us. And in addition, I know there has been a public outcry with regard to this coach situation. So sure, we'll put this amendment on and that will be our expression of that. But again, I would ask that we not go any farther than that because I think, you know, yes, there may be some concern around costs at the university, but let's also not lose sight of the appreciation that we have for the university and its mission and the jewel that we feel that it is to our state and our community.
Senator, and is there any other discussion on the A53 amendment? Senator Newman, in light of the author's support, do you still want a roll call vote?
Madam President, yes, please.
Okay. The secretary will take the roll on the A53.
All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 60 in favor and 6 opposed, the amendment is adopted. Are there any other amendments? Senator Chamberlain.
Madam President, I have the A-55.
The secretary will report the A-55 amendment.
Senator Chamberlain moves to amend Senate File Number 1236 as follows, page 8 after line 8, insert. And this is the A-55 amendment.
Senator Chamberlain.
Madam President, what this does is this does something that really protects the students and Minnesota taxpayers. It gets right to the heart of what we're trying to do. It's a freeze on tuition at the University of Minnesota. And it's simple as that. And when we freeze the tuition, it will not allow the U of M to come back and offset that freeze by increasing rates and fees in other areas to recoup that tuition money. This will protect the students, protect Minnesotans, protect the taxpayers, and it will give them what they need and what they desire. Secondly, I would say that this is reasonable, especially in light of recent events that we've been made aware of. I think I don't want to take anybody else's thunder here, but I think there was an article just passed out, a couple of them. One about the University of Minnesota bloat by our former governor, Arne Carlson. Another one from the Wall Street Journal a while back about how much money the U is spending on administration. So with that, I would ask, would Senator Bonhoff yield?
Senator Bonhoff, will you yield? Senator Bonhoff will yield. Senator Chamberlain.
Senator Bonhoff, could you tell me how many employees the University of Minnesota has?
Senator Chamberlain, I don't have that answer, but since I'm standing, if I could address a few of the things you've said at this point.
I do have a couple more questions. Then I'll wait.
Go ahead.
Senator Chamberlain.
Madam President, thank you, Senator Bonhoff. If you're going to get that information, I'd also ask, how does that rank per students? That is, how many employees do we have per students? And I will add to this, then I'll let you answer. What is the cost of administration at the U, and how does that rank nationally?
Senator Chamberlain, those are the exact questions that we had. And so how we addressed those questions, Senator Bach and I, when we first saw that Wall Street Journal article, if you recall, we sent a pointed letter to President Kaler saying we want the answers to those questions. And we said we don't want your administration providing the answers. We want an objective analysis to provide the answers to those questions. And so the University of Minnesota hired a consulting firm, Simpson Consulting, to do what's called a spans and layers analysis of administration to identify how many, to identify how many managers report to each person, to give us the very kind of ratios you want. And then we said, that's not enough. We want to know where it relates, how that stands compared to other universities. And we want you to have a plan to get your costs in line. Because I learned as I began to research this that other Big Ten universities have tackled this issue with velocity. In fact, we had Professor Rowan Miranda from the University of Michigan come and share his cost-cutting efforts with us. When we first got the University of Minnesota's initial report back, which they provided to the governor and to Senator Bach and myself, and we did hear that report in committee, what it showed is that The University of Minnesota, at first glance, and these are not definite answers because the rest of this report won't be done until July, but at first glance, their numbers fell in the, quote, normal range, but the normal range was, by definition, not at best practice standard. And that is why, number one in the bill, you say, you read that we've asked for the salary analysis, the position analysis, in comparison to other universities. Number two, we've asked for the final spans and layers report. Number three, we have said that the University of Minnesota, you know, they went and hired Huron Consulting to continue that benchmark analysis so we could, in fact, find out where we are comparably and then begin to have a plan to address these costs. We put in the bill that we must hear on a monthly basis that work between University of Minnesota and Huron Consulting, as well as get a plan from the university how to address the overages as they discover them. So, Senator, and with regard to tuition, Senator Chamberlain, it's in the bill. We've said that they will freeze tuition as a result of the increased expenditure we've provided. That is in the bill, so I don't understand why we'd need an amendment to that effect.
Madam President.
Senator Chamberlain.
A couple comments. I think it's good that they've recognized that and there's some action in that direction. I would point out that the university, I assume, is, well, I believe, is employs a lot of really smart people, not only teaching, but also running that facility. So I find it... in my little world, I find it bizarre that a place like the University of Minnesota, who knows they've got bloat, and they had to go out and hire another consulting firm at hundreds of thousands of dollars to waste more money, more taxpayer money, to determine that they got too much bloat in their system. Arne Carlson can find the bloat. He wrote about it. The Wall Street Journal did the research on their own. They found the bloat, but here the University of Minnesota, we've got to go hire expensive consultants to continue the bloat. This is really an interesting, thus my hard freeze request until we get information about where that bloat is, Madam President and members, until we understand what that is, I think we need to protect the students and taxpayers and Minnesotans from increased waste. So I would encourage a green vote. Thank you.
Madam President and Senator Chamberlain, Governor Carlson is a constituent of mine, and I have the utmost respect for him. I have been in conversations with Governor Carlson about the University of Minnesota and share the concerns that Governor Carlson wrote about. But Senator Chamberlain, Governor Carlson agreed with the direction that Senator Bach and I took in terms of having an outside entity do the analysis because it's very difficult for one to look at oneself with regard to identifying areas of improvement. I mean, we can all self-reflect and say, I could be better at this, I could be better at this, but, you know, the fact of the matter is if you're going to cause real, substantial, meaningful change, it's useful to have an objective view over what's working, what's not working, and how you stack up compared to other things. Just like members last year when we directed the administration to do a benchmark analysis of, you know, our own administrative functions. This is standard practice and I think is a worthy effort that we ought to undertake. With regard to the hard freeze, I would like to point Senator Chamberlain to where in the bill we talk about the tuition freeze. Page 12. It says the Board of Regents is requested to maintain the Minnesota resident undergraduate tuition rate for the 2013-14, 2014-15 academic years at the 2012-2013 academic year rate. We did that. It's in the bill. Because it's a land-grant institution, we say request rather than require because that's by law what we're allowed to do. But it's very clear and it's in print. Freeze your tuition.
Is there any more discussion on the A55 amendment? Senator Nenow.
Thank you, Madam President. Will Senator Bonoff yield?
Senator Bonoff, will you yield? She will yield. Senator Nenow.
Senator Bonoff, I understand that the language that you put in the bill there is, I hate to say this, suggestive. It suggests that they maintain that tuition level, and as you said, there's no way that we can require them to do that. If they do not maintain that tuition level, is there any financial disincentive? Is any of this new $80 million or so that's in this bill, do we tell them they can't have a portion of that if they specifically don't meet that one criteria of holding down tuition?
Senator Bonoff.
Well, Madam President, Senator Nenow, this isn't their metric, by the way. The metric, they only have to meet 3 of 5. This is in the bill requesting that they hold the tuition. They have pledged to us they're going to do that. They put it on their website, in fact, they're going to do that. So I am not concerned about that. With regard to the holdback, we have identified that one of their metrics they must attain is cutting expenses by $15 million. And so that is an important and effective metric we put in place that is not the most comfortable, I'm sure.
Senator Nenow.
Thank you, Madam President. So they must meet 3 of 5 metrics. If the 3 of the 5 that they meet do not include holding tuition at a 0% increase, is there any repercussion for the administration or the university or anybody?
Madam President, Senator Nenow, that's what I'm saying.
Senator
we didn't
Bonoff.
Make it one of the metrics because we didn't want them to have a choice. It just says that in the bill. It's not a metric. It tells them to do that. So I think we've done everything that we can within the confines of our ability to direct the University of Minnesota. And again, I just want to make sure that members know that the university offered this. President Kaler, he came forward when he took over this job, and I, you know, really have so much respect for the work of President Kaler and his team and the vision they have for the university, but they've identified this as their goal and their commitment and their pledge.
Senator Nenow.
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you, Senator, for clarifying that. I thought that was one of the metrics, but it's not one of the metrics at all. It's just a suggestion in the bill that tuition be held down, non-binding. The university has, as Senator Bonoff said, has verbally made a commitment to hold that at a 0% increase. Given that, I don't see where the senator's amendment does any harm. It just simply locks in that verbal agreement into a legal agreement. I think I'm going to support the amendment.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Clausen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Will Senator Chamberlain yield?
Senator Chamberlain, will you yield? He will yield. Senator Clausen.
Thank you, Senator Chamberlain and Madam President. Just a point of clarification. In your amendment, you referenced the Board of Trustees, and then you referenced the Board of Regents. Did you intend this to be for the University of Minnesota system or MNSCU?
Senator Chamberlain.
Madam President and Senator Dahl, it would be intended for both, but my focus would be on U of M.
Senator Clausen.
Yes. Will Senator Chamberlain yield?
Senator Chamberlain, will you yield? He will yield. Senator Clausen.
I think then the amendment needs to be reworked based upon the wording that you have there. And again, as I understand it, you are referencing both the University of Minnesota system and MNSCU. Is that correct?
Senator Chamberlain.
Yes.
Is there any other discussion on the A55 amendment? Senator Clausen, you had more to say?
Yes. Madam Chair, I would like then to offer the A58 amendment.
The Secretary will report the amendment to the amendment.
Madam President.
Senator Bonoff.
Madam President, I'm wondering if before we, before Senator Claussen offers amendment, if we could divide the amendment, because I believe Senator Claussen's amendment is only related to one part of the amendment. If you could perhaps withdraw.
To Claussen,
Senator Claussen.
Madam President, that is correct. My amendment only pertains to the Minsku system.
So you're requesting to divide the amendment after line 114? And
well, again, Senator Thompson, Senator Chamberlain, I'm sorry. I guess I'd offer more clarification on in which part of this amendment is he referencing the University of Minnesota system, and which is he referencing the Minsky system?
All right, Senator Claussen, you need to withdraw your amendment temporarily if so that the division can be made,
yes.
If that's okay with you.
Thank you, Madam President. Yes, I withdraw my amendment.
All right, then Senator Bonath wishes to divide the amendment.
Yes, Madam President. And I suggest that we...
You divide it after line 14.
Yes. And vote on the second part first.
Okay.
Oh, that'll be up to Senator Chamberlain with regard
Senator
to
Senator Chamberlain, the request has been to divide the amendment. Which half of the amendment would you like to be voted on first?
The first section, line 1.3 through 114.
Line 113 to line 1114. And Senator Claussen.
Thank you, Madam President. And again, just a point of clarification, Senator Chamberlain, will you yield?
Senator Chamberlain.
Please. Madam President.
Yield. Senator Claussen.
Madam President, Senator Chamberlain, are you referencing then in that first part of your amendment the University of Minnesota system?
Senator Chamberlain. Minsky.
The first, Senator, Madam Chair, and Madam President, and Senator Claussen, it's Minsky on the top. So what we've got here is, because U of M is a land grant, we cannot, as you said, make them freeze their money. We cannot say you can't charge us. So what this is doing is the first part tells the Minsky, which we can mandate, that they freeze. The second part of the amendment that we're splitting tells U of M, well, you can do what you want, but we're not going to give you your money until you do. So it's a freeze on Minsky with that language, which we can do. And we understand we can't do that for the U of M. So we are going to tell U of M, until you do this, until the region do this, we will withhold your money.
So the members, the first half of the amendment, Senator Chamberlain has requested we vote in the first half, which is line 1.2 through 1.14. And Senator Claussen, is that where you want to offer your amendment to the amendment?
Yes, Madam President, my amendment, the A58 amendment would be for the upper portion of...
And would you then address your amendment? What does it do? Oh, wait a minute. We have to introduce the amendment. The Secretary will report the A58 amendment.
Senator Claussen moves to amend the Chamberlain amendment, divided with lines 1.2 through 1.14 as follows, page 1, line 6, and this is the A58 amendment.
Senator Claussen.
Thank you, Madam President. The A58 amendment institutes a 3% tuition freeze on Minsky institutions for the next two for the biennium.
Okay, is there any more discussion on the A58? Senator Chamberlain.
Yeah, thank you, Madam President. So if I understand this, so that we're talking about, we divided it, and now we're looking at the top piece where it talks about Minsky, and Senator, you are asking that we take that freeze to 3% and freeze it?
You wanted Senator Claussen to yield. Senator Claussen will yield.
Yes.
Senator Claussen.
Thank you, Madam President, and Senator Chamberlain. Yes, it would set a 3% cap on the Minsky institutions for tuition.
Senator Nino? Oh, Senator Chamberlain, I'm sorry. Any more? Senator Nino.
Thank you, Madam President. If Senator Bonoff would yield, I have a question.
Senator Bonoff will yield. Senator Nino.
Senator Bonoff, could you repeat for me how much additional money is being paid to both the University of Minnesota and to Minsky in this bill?
Senator Nino, $80 million of investment to Minsky, $80 million to the University of Minnesota. And if we were to do a tuition freeze for Minsky, it would cost $78 million over the biennium. So it would take every dollar of proposed increase to freeze their tuition and at some other point. But it is important to note what the difference between what our investment provides these students versus the freeze, because let's remember, members, the university students themselves rallied around this proposal. They voted for this proposal. They've written us letters for this proposal. They've come before the committee and talked about the importance to their future and their educational attainment for this proposal and to the workforce development needs of the future. So, members, while you think you might be doing our students a favor, I would suggest that a hard freeze at the Minsky is not in the best interest of the students, because they've told us that. The business community has told us that. The business community has written a letter and talked about the importance of supporting the workforce direction that this bill provides.
Senator Nino.
Thank you, Madam President. And if Senator Bonoff would continue to yield, I have another question for her. She's nodding her head yes, so I'll proceed. Senator Bonoff, the $80 million to the University of Minnesota, they have verbally agreed to keeping tuition flat. That's the second part of this amendment we haven't gotten to yet. But for Minsky, we're giving them $80 million. They apparently have not, I'm assuming, given that commitment. Is your assumption that they are, in addition to receiving $80 million from the state of Minnesota, that their intention is also to increase tuition?
Senator Bonoff.
Madam President, the students and the university agreed on an increase that would give the students approximately, I believe it was a $200 a year at the Minsky four-year, and about half of that increase a year at the two-year institutions. And so that was not part of the proposal. What Minsky came forward and requested with that $80 million, if we go back through it, I did speak about it in my summary, but number one, the leveraged equipment was something that they and the business community were united around. They truly want Minsky to be able to invest in this kind of equipment and machinery so that these kids can be trained. They wouldn't be able to do that were we to enact the proposal before you. They wanted the faculty-driven innovations, the resources for faculty to develop and expand the use of new approaches to teaching and learning. They wanted to be able to support the internships. There were to be able to start new programs in high-demand professions, to be able to meet tomorrow's needs. So I could go on and on, as you can tell, Senator Nienau, but what I'm telling you is they thought through this proposal. There were listening sessions all over the country, and, in fact, the chair of the Itasca committee on this met with Senator Bach and myself as recently as last week to tell us,
please don't give in to the desire to just freeze tuition for students rather than invest in these important workforce-focused needs. And so that's why I don't agree with the Chamberlain proposal. I'm willing to accept the Claussen amendment to the amendment.
Senator Nenow.
Thank you, Madam President. I do not serve on the Higher Ed Committee, so that was educational, but it didn't answer my question. If Senator Bonoff would yield again, I'll reiterate and ask the question a second time. The U of M is getting $80 million, and they've committed to holding tuition flat, although they're not legally bound unless we pass the second half of this amendment. Even there, there's just financial incentives. They're still not legally bound. Minsky is getting also an additional $80 million. Their budgets are roughly about the same, is my understanding. My question for Senator Bonoff, the U of M has committed to hold tuition down. Is your assumption that by giving the same amount of money to Minsky, who has about the same budget, that their intention is to, in addition to that, raise tuition rates?
Senator Bonoff.
Madam President, I don't know what you didn't hear about my answer. Senator Nenow, no. The answer is no. The answer is the Minsky is using their resources for the things they identified. They're not intending to hold tuition flat.
Senator Nenow.
Thank you, Madam President. So my understanding is that, yes, indeed, you anticipate that they will raise student tuition in addition to getting the $80 million. Then if Senator Bonoff would continue to yield, Madam President.
Senator Bonoff, will you yield? She will yield. Senator Nenow.
Senator Bonoff, what are the dynamics that are different at Minsky that has roughly the same size budget that they need to get an additional $80 million plus tens of millions of dollars more in tuition increases, whereas the University of Minnesota says they don't need to do that?
Senator Bonoff.
Madam President, Senator Nenow, Chancellor Rosenstone, upon coming to the Minsky system, identified some weaknesses in the system. He identified that when he looked at his two-year campuses, his four-year campuses, as he looked at the student job placement, as he looked at the persistence and completion rate, that there were some strategies that needed to be employed in order to turn that course around. In fact, he wasn't satisfied with the metrics around completion rate, around student debt, around job placement, all of those things. And so in response to the business community, in response to the students, they chose to increase by, as I said, just slightly their tuition, $100 in the two-year, approximately $120, and a little over $200 a year in the four-year Minsky institutions, in order to invest in the strategies that ultimately were going to improve students' lives. One difference in terms of how they spend their money, Minsky is serving 400,000 students, the U of M is serving 60,000, and they're very different student populations, and their needs and their demands are very different based on the demographics and the function that those institutions play. Members, nobody came to our committee and said freeze Minsky tuition. The students didn't, the parents didn't, and Minsky faculty didn't. The word we got is we want these investments. We want to compete. We want to be better. We want to be the first choice. We don't want to lose these kids, and we want to make sure they're successful. So as a committee, Senator Nenow, on a bipartisan basis, we supported the efforts of the Minsky proposal. The governor heard it. He supported them, and our committee did.
Senator Chamberlain.
Thank you, Madam President. Will Senator Bonoff yield?
Senator Bonoff will yield. Senator Chamberlain.
Thank you. Senator Bonoff, just quickly, three things. Have you received answers to those earlier questions? How many employees? How many employees per student in the cost administration? And then I have two other quick things. If you haven't, that's fine. I'll move on.
Senator Chamberlain, Senator Bonoff. Some of the answers, Madam President. 25,000 U of M, including faculty, 17,000 Minsky. I have a list of each faculty member and their salaries up in my office. We actually have painstakingly gone through this detail, and again, as I mentioned,